Morning all, how are you? All right. Who likes to go camping? Few hands out there. Who likes to be spontaneous? We've got an old mate here in a moment. He's decided he's going to go for a surf. He was on the way somewhere and he's in his suit, but too good an opportunity, launched straight in. So who likes to be spontaneous? Okay. What if we combine those two concepts? Who likes spontaneous camping? Now, I don't mean you wake up in the morning and think to yourself, let's go camping tonight. No, I'm thinking of the person who leaves home in the morning, they're out with family and friends, maybe at the shops or at the movies, and then you decide, let's go camping now. No planning, no preparation, you don't go home, you don't do anything else, you head straight to the camping spot. Put up your hands if you're into spontaneous camping. Crazy. Well, I'm good to see none of you there. It's supposed to be easy. Camping's supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be relaxing. But without a little bit of planning or preparation, it can be a disaster and fall well short of the mark. But you know, sometimes I think that our approach to our relationship with God can be a little like this. We like the idea of having a closer relationship with God, and we hope it happens, but we don't put any real focus on it. Then the end of the year comes around, and we're somehow surprised that it just hasn't happened for us this year. We know that relationships with our partner, our family, and our friends don't just happen. We know that we need to work at them. We talk regularly. We check in with them, we make plans, we think about them, we give them time. We know that if we neglect the relationship, it can sour, might get a bit rocky, or simply fade. Why are we then surprised that a haphazard approach to our relationship with God doesn't result in a deeper, stronger relationship? What if we decided to be intentional in our relationship with God? What if we made some plans this year to focus on developing a closer relationship with God? How would that look? As I was thinking about this, I couldn't help but see some parallels with planning a camping trip. Just as there are some things we need to do to have a successful camping trip, there are certain things that we need to do if we genuinely want to develop a closer relationship with God. So let's start planning this trip together, and today we'll look at five things we can plan. Now, when I pack our trailer, the first thing I pack is our tent. So we're going to plan our shelter. What's the purpose of a tent? Throw some things at me. Protection, dry, what else? Fun? Safety, yep. So I had shelter in the storms, protects you from the wind, can give you privacy, security for your goods. It also can define your campsite. Now I want us to compare our choice of shelter with our relationship with God. Now some approach this planning with shelter a little bit differently to me. Some people don't want a tent. They got a swag will do for them. They're exposed to the elements and somehow they think that everything will be sweet. To me, this represents the person who says, I don't need God. While life is going well, it all seems good, but when the storms of life come, they tend to find themselves a little exposed. Others have a tarpaulin held up by a couple of poles. It provides some shelter from the sun, but it's not much chop when the wind and rain comes. This to me is the person who says, Lord, I only need you a bit. Only when it gets a bit hot. I'll call on you when things get really heated, but the rest of the time I'll probably put you to one side and then I'll bring you out if and when I need you. Then there are the people with the tent and they've put everything inside it. This to me represents a person who says, Lord, I'm putting all that I have into your care. In Psalm 37:5 we read, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. But what does this really mean? Let me read you something from Barnes' notes in the Bible. That first part, commit everything you do to the Lord, in Hebrew is like, roll thy way upon the Lord. The idea is rolling a heavy burden from ourselves onto another, or laying it upon him so that he may bear it. The burden which we have not got strength to bear, we may lay on God. The term way means properly the act of treading or going, then a way or path, then a course or life, or the manner in which one lives. And the reference here is the whole course of life, all that can affect life, all our plans or conduct, all the issues or results of those plans. It is equivalent here to lot or destiny. Everything in regard to the manner in which we live and all its results are to be committed to the Lord. And he shall bring it to pass. Basically, it's Hebrew saying, he shall do it. He'll bring to a proper issue. He will secure a happy result. Now, many people like to start the year with New Year's resolutions. But what about starting the year by committing all that you have and are to God? If for a moment we considered our relationship with God as a giant tent, and God is all over us and is all around us, have you brought everything in your life under the umbrella of God's protection and control? Like the person who has put up a tent, and into it they have brought themselves, their family, their friends, your health, your job, your goals, your desires. When people look at you, do they see a person who is grounded in their faith and committing everything to God? Or are you like the person with the tarp, and when life gets tough, you're easily shaken and blown all over the place? Or are you like the person in the swag and believing in yourself alone to get through this year? Can I encourage you to plan your shelter, to purposefully and prayerfully commit all that you have and are into the care of God? Now, the next thing I'm packing on our trip is our sleeping gear. This brings me to my second point. Plan to rest, to be restored. Have you ever gone camping and you've forgotten your sleeping gear? Forgotten the pillow, you're out in the rough ground, you toss and turn all night, and by about day two of camp, you're a wreck. We desperately need to have physical rest if we're to cope. Similarly, we have a need for spiritual rest. Matthew 11:28, read, Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Jews were used to the Pharisees, who were so focused on rules and laws that all they seemed to say was do this, do that. And then Jesus came along, Jesus said, "Come." He issued a personal open invitation to those who are exhausted and burdened down. Warren Wiersbe writes, "When we come to Christ by faith, he gives us rest. When we take his yoke," you know, like when they had the bulls and they had the wooden frame over the shoulders so they can attach the load, "when we take his yoke and learn, we find rest, that deeper rest of surrender and obedience. To take a yoke in that day meant to become a disciple. When we submit to Christ, we are yoked to him." When we need physical rest, we go to our bedroom. We lie down on our bed and we put all other distractions aside. A couple of things about this struck me. We intentionally go to a place, we position ourselves, and put everything else aside for a period of time. I believe it's the same in our relationship with God. We need to plan a time and a place to be with God away from other distractions, to heed his voice and come to him. Friends, I don't know about you, but I need that rest, to be restored. If there is anything that I've learned in preparing this sermon, is that this year I need to plan to have those moments with God, to meditate on him and fully surrender to him. Now, King David knew all about this. In Psalm 23, 1-3, we read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul." I love that last line. "He refreshes my soul." David knew what it was to be a shepherd. A shepherd knows his sheep, knows what they need, provides for them and protects them. With God as our shepherd, what else then could we need? And when we come into his presence, where we trust in him, we find a place where we trust in him and recognize the abundance of what he has in store for us in his green pastures, we find a place where he can bring peace into our lives. We're able to cast our cares on him, and he is able and willing to refresh our souls. If you've suffered emotional trauma or you're weighed down and brokenhearted, God is willing and able to heal our hurts and restore us. Plan this year to rest, to be restored. Find that place where you can be alone with God and allow him to refresh your soul. Next thing I take camping is I've got to plan a diet. Now, planning your food for camping, very important. And with our four growing lads, having a sufficient volume of food is critical. My boys eat when they wake, they eat before they leave home, they eat as they're leaving the home, they eat while they're away from the home, they eat upon returning the home, they eat before dinner, they eat at dinner, they eat after dinner, and I'm sure given half the chance, they could have food and toothbrush in their mouth at the same time. Now this lad, he knows his food, he likes his food, and he's got a good range of food. This almost looks like Samuel at afternoon tea time. Now we all know the importance of a balanced diet. There are some foods and vitamins that are essential for good health. There are some foods like cream buns, fairy floss, fruit loops, chocolate. All of these things, they taste yum and in moderation they're okay. But you wouldn't want to base your diet upon them. But there are some things that also seem safe but actually should never be part of your diet. It's one thing to eat the apple, but don't eat the apple seeds. The apple seeds actually have a type of hydrogen cyanide in them called prussic acid. No good. Don't go there. But just as we can decide what food we put into our mouths, we can also decide what we put into our minds. Let me read from the message, Philippians 4, 8-9. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. This passage is part of Paul's final exhortation to near the end of his letter to the church of Philippi. He's encouraging the Philippians to have right thinking. Warren Wiersbe writes, "Wrong thinking leads to wrong feeling, and before long the heart and mind are pulled apart and we are strangled by worry." He continues, "The Christian who fills his heart and mind with God's word will have a built-in radar for detecting wrong thoughts." Right thinking is the result of daily meditation on the word of God. What are you filling your mind with? Do you just fill it with whatever comes your way? Or are you planning to have a balanced diet which is based upon a solid intake of wholesome food? A daily intake of God's Word. I think it's fantastic that our church is promoting the Project 345 plan. Can I encourage you to take up the challenge and read the whole of the New Testament this year with the church? I also encourage you to read some books by Christian authors. Plan to vary your diet this year. Now, another important thing when you're going to go camping is plan who you go with. Now, you've never been camping before. It can be very daunting. What gear do you need? What can you do to make your camping weekend a success? Now, who here has been on a camping trip with someone who rightly deserves the title of the camping master? Well, this is a couple out there. This is the person who brings just the right amount of equipment, nothing is forgotten, and they've managed to set up camp in the time it took you to reverse the trailer and park the car. Is anyone amongst us who is the camping master? Oh, no show of hands. When our boys were in primary school, we went on a couple of camping trips with some families from school. We followed our friend Danny to a camping ground at Goombra. We drove into the lovely lush bushland, and there, beside a creek, Annie's husband Lyle had parked the caravan. And wait for it, he had mown all of our camping supplies. That's right, he went on the camping trip and he took his lawnmower. Clever man. But I'm sure that we've all been on camping trips where there is one person who hasn't a clue. They don't know what to bring. They're ill-equipped and they have no idea about putting up tents. Now, if you've been camping before, you want to get some advice from the camp master. However, if you're the camp master, it is your job to provide a little wisdom to the newbie. Same thing in our Christian walk. What does the Bible say on this? Let's look at a couple of passages. Romans 15, 1-2 says, "Those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter, and not just do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? And in Proverbs 18:15 we read, wise men and women are always learning, always listening for fresh insights. It is clear that those who are strong in their faith are to help others. It is also clear that the beginning of wisdom is to learn from those who are strong in their faith. There is something for each of us to do here. Either we are to learn or we are to teach. Which one are you doing?" While we were running the men's prayer night, there were a couple of occasions when men of the church shared their testimony. It was a real privilege to hear how God worked in and through them over the years, how God led them through times of doubt and despair. To hear how God has been faithful and how their life is a testament to his love and grace in action. We ought to listen and to learn from others. This year, if you are strong in your faith, how about seeking God's leading to who you can mentor? To find that person who is new in their faith and needs some encouragement and gentle guidance. If you are young in your faith, seek God's leading to show you a person who you can learn from. Plan this year to mentor or to be mentored. Prayerfully consider what God would have you do next in your spiritual journey. My final point for today is plan how to get there. Now, if you're going on a camping trip, you might know the destination, but not have a clue how to get there. Thank goodness for GPS devices. How good are they? Plug in your destination and then it identifies how to get there, the best route, and then guides you step by step all the way. But GPS devices can also be used to show us where we have been. For Christmas, I was given a TomTom watch. It measures my heart rate, keeps track of my activity, calories burned, and also maps where I've been. I wore my watch on a motorbike ride one day, and it plotted the route that I took. I don't know how clear it is. Headed out past Gatton, went out through the Gatton-Clifton Road, out through to Warwick, then went up over Queen Mary Falls, down through to Boona and home. Great stuff. There are times in our life when we can look back and we can see where we've been. We can see God's hands at work through every twist and turn of the journey. But there are other times when we look back and we're confused. We've been really busy and exerted a lot of effort, but we can't see where we've been. This is a plot of when I wore the watch when I was mowing. It looks like I didn't do anything. But if we zoom in, we can see that I've been really busy. That's about 2.5 kilometres there. But when we look back at it, we can see that this is like times in our life when we have just been spinning our wheels. We feel like we've been exerting heaps of effort. We've been putting all the time in, but we haven't a clue what we're doing. It seems like there's no purpose, no direction. What can we do then? In James 1:5-8 we read, "If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father." How about that? He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. People who worry their prayers are like wind with waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the Master that way. Adrift, at sea, keeping all your options open. I think I need to read this passage more often. Too often I think I know where I'm going and what I'm doing, but really, I haven't a clue. And when you pray, truly believe that God will hear you and answer your prayers. James compares the doubting believer to the wind-whipped waves. You're up, you're down, you're blown all over the place. Unbelief is your enemy. Now, I know people who, when they are lost in the Brisbane CBD, they keep turning left until they get to a place they know. Now, that might work in a little space like the CBD, but if you're on a camping trip over 100 kilometres away, I don't think turning left is going to cut it for you. You either need to get directions from a GPS or you need to get directions from someone who knows how to get there. But when you get the directions, follow them. Don't second guess them. And how do we get to be where God wants us to be unless we ask Him how to get there? We each need God's guidance in our lives, and we do this in prayer. Pray boldly to Him, trusting fully in Him. This year, plan to be intentional in your walk with God. Plan to have a deeper relationship with Him. Let's quickly recap those points. Firstly, plan your shelter. Commit everything to God. All that you are and have, commit everything into His care. Plan to rest, to be restored. Find that place to be with God. Allow Him to speak into you. Plan your diet. Read your Bible. Study His Word. Plan who you go with. Is this year an opportunity for you to mentor or to be mentored? Plan how to get there. Pray for God's guidance and leading each day. Let's pray. Lord,